Mark chapter 12, starting with verse 13. Then they sent some of the Pharisees and Herodians to him in order to trap him in a statement. They came and said to him, "Teacher, we know that you are truthful and defer to no one, for you are not partial to any, but teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to pay a poll tax to Caesar or not? Shall we pay or shall we not pay?" But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said to them, "Why are you testing me? Bring me a denarius to look at." They brought one, and he said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" And they said to him, "Caesar's." And he said to them, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." And they were amazed at him. Pray with me. Our God, we thank you for your word. We thank you again that it is living and that it is active. And we pray now, God, that you will quicken our hearts and give us understanding so that we will know more of who you are and understand how you would have us respond to you. Not just now, Father, and not just this week, but for the rest of our lives. God, please transform us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are still in the last week of Jesus' life before he offered himself up as a sacrifice to pay for our sins. And at this time, the Pharisees and the Herodians come and they throw him a question. Now, they act like, "Oh, we think you're great. We think you're wonderful, and we're so excited that you always tell the truth. So would you please enlighten us so we'll know what we should do?" But the scripture says Christ saw through their hypocrisy. One of the things about these two groups that came, one would say, "Pay your taxes to Caesar." The other group would say, "No, you can't pay your taxes to Caesar." So they were setting him up. Whatever he said, one group was going to jump on him with both feet. If he said this, one was going to nail him. If he said that, the other group was going to nail him. And they thought, we've got Jesus. And now we're going to embarrass him in front of everybody. Now, people may have tried to trap you like this. And people have tried to trap me, and I've never responded with this kind of wisdom. Well, Christ says, "Bring me the coin." The poll tax was an annual tax. You had to pay a day's wages to Caesar every year. Everybody had to pay it. He says, "Bring me the coin." They bring the coin. "Who is this?" And they had a picture, just like our coins would have a picture of George Washington. They had a picture of Caesar. Whose picture is this? Caesar's. You can imagine them throwing the coin back and give it to Caesar. Give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Give to God the things that are God's. Now, it sounds like something pretty simple. It sounds pretty easy, and we just want to put God in this compartment and in this box and say, "Well, okay, church is God's. Okay, the Bible's God's. Maybe my prayer time is God's." But when you think about it, what really belongs to God? Is he saying, "Okay, go to church, and that'll be good, and pay Caesar"? No. The reality is, everything belongs to God. The mountains are his, the valleys are his, the ocean is his, we belong to him. So he says, "Give Caesar his little coin, and give everything to God." So here we are in the situation where we have to evaluate. How are we pulling this off? How are we doing in giving everything to God? I heard a story about a rich man who moved into South America. And when he got there, he built houses. He brought clothes and he put up stores. And there were these natives there. And he gave them everything that they needed, but on credit. So they had these houses on credit. They had clothes on credit. They had the tools to do their jobs, but on credit. So as a result, he had an entire community of slaves that owed him everything. You see, in one sense, we're like this. Everything that we have received, every good and perfect thing that you have, every talent, every tool, belongs to Christ. But on the other hand, he's not a cruel and a malicious dictator. He's more like the loving coach. When I was wrestling, at one point I had the opportunity to be in a match when my dad was the coach. And it came down to the last few moments. And in the last few moments, whoever got the next point was going to win. And I remember my father's passion as he called out to me from the sidelines that the takedown wins, Micah. Whoever takes down the opponent next wins this match. And when it was over, and I, because of my dad's excitement and my dad's passion for me to win, I got it. And I remember running over to the sidelines and jumping into my dad's arms, and he embraced me. And in that moment, I was excited not because I won, but I was excited because I poured myself out for my father. And my father was pleased. And in reality, that was the only reason I was in a wrestling tournament. Was because I wanted to see my dad smile. See, giving ourselves to Christ and offering ourselves up to Him is this pouring ourselves out. It is this giving everything that we have. Not for some dictator because we owe him this credit, but because he is your father who has loved you. And he is the father that longs to see you be the man, the woman, the son, the daughter that he knows you can be. The child that he will embrace in his arms and rejoice with you as you offer yourself up to him. So this is the cry this morning as we throw our coin to Caesar. But we do so because we offer ourselves up to Christ. So we're not going to just sidestep verse 17 altogether when he says, give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Verse 17, and Jesus said to them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they were amazed at him. You see, we do have to obey government authorities. We have to do it. Few of us are excited about the election and the way things have turned out. But the truth of the matter is, and the reality is, God has told us to obey civil authorities. And when he said this, it wasn't because, oh, I didn't know who the president was going to be. He didn't know Obama was going to be president. He knew. You see, our nation has cried out for the sort of king that they long for. And they have not cried out for Christ. And our God has answered our nation and says, here is the king that you want. And unfortunately, he has also said, here is the king that you deserve. United States of America. So yes, we pay our taxes, and yes, we obey the civil authorities in so far as they do not command us to disobey our God. Romans 13 lays it out clearly. Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And those which exist are established by God. Therefore, he who resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. So you have your president, Eastvale Congregation, and you are commanded by God to submit to this authority. And the reality is, this is part of offering yourself up to God. Because in faith and in obedience to Christ, we do as we are commanded, and we render the service and the fear and the respect that God commands us. Now let's look again at verse 17. And Jesus said to them, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." You see, the things that you have and the things that you do are to be rendered to God. In Exodus 4:11, God said, "Who made man's mouth?" And the answer is God. The things that we say are to be for Christ's glory. He said, "Who made man's ear? Who planted the ear?" In Psalm 94:9, well, the answer is God. "Who gave you your eyes?" The answer is God. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price? Therefore, glorify God in your body." The things that we do, everything that we do is to be for the glory of Christ. The labor that we do, the work that we do. I was speaking to someone recently. I've talked to a lot of people recently, and I said this catchphrase that I thought was pretty clever. I've been trying to decide what good things not to do, thinking that you can't do everything. There's just too much to do. And this former pastor said, "Well, yeah, but be careful with that." He said, "We have a nation now, and we have a postmodern society now that says you need your you time. You need your time for yourself." But really, our efforts and our energy, none of them are for ourselves. And we're only fulfilled. We only find the joy and the peace that everyone is running after when we render it to Christ. Our efforts to Christ, our joy to Christ. I may have shared before, it had always been a goal for me to camp in Canada. And when I got there, all I did was miss my family and wish that I was with them. These things that people are running after, this me time and these different selfish things that we go after, I think we're missing it. We're missing it because where is the greatest fulfillment in life? The greatest fulfillment in life is loving Christ and is loving one another. It is offering that service to one another. The next thing that is God's that you must offer up to Him is your mind. We said the things that are God's, everything is God's. I once visited a dear saint in a nursing home. And we were talking about the world, and she started talking about television because now she had one. And she hadn't before. She just lived alone, and she read her Bible, and she read Christian books. And she talked about all the garbage that was on television. And she leveled this gaze at me, and she said, "Our minds are precious. And we should count them precious." She said, "We should be so careful about the things that we put into our minds." Reflect on that. Reflect on the things that you have put onto your mind, into your mind. I've discovered oftentimes that in my quiet time in the mornings, if I've watched something on TV the night before, it intrudes. My mind will dwell on these things and it brings it up. What are you putting into your mind? Are you counting it precious? My experience in going to art school and being in Boy Scouts, I've known a number of bizarre individuals. And one such individual, he would rejoice in taking foreign objects and throwing them into other people's drinks when they weren't looking. He wasn't trying to hurt them. He wasn't trying to poison them. But he just really liked the look on someone's face when they got to the bottom of their cup and there was something like a raisin in there. And they wonder, "What did I just put into my body?" And when people would catch him throwing stuff into their drinks, they were so offended because they would want to protect it. And if his hand would go that way, you'd grab your drink and you'd pull it away from him. If you're that careful about your drink, something that's going to go in and come in and then be expelled, how much more careful should we be with our minds? Running from the filth. Running from the garbage. And if need be so, setting boundaries in our lives where we won't take these things in. What should you be putting into your mind? Well, we know that we are to write God's minds, God's word on our minds. Guard your mind from worldly filth and fill it with God's word. Fill it with his promises. Fill it with the good news of Jesus Christ. And then when the time comes, you will be equipped to fight all the schemes of the devil. You will have the faith to deal with the flaming arrows. And you will stand steadfast and firm in your faith. Next, give your strength to Christ. How much effort do we put into running after other things, other areas of joy, other areas for comfort? I have tried so hard at different times, and wasted such time, and wasted such energy running after emptiness, running after the things that I expect will fulfill me. I did it before I was saved, and heaven help me, I do it now. And so do you. And how do you end up afterwards? How do you end up after running to your idols? Food's one of mine, and I end up bloated, and I end up slow, and I end up unhappy. And I end up grumpy with my wife and grumpy with my children. And don't all of your other idols do the same thing? Tear at your relationships around you. Tear at your relationships within your family, within your church family. Just utterly mess up your opportunities to witness. You see, the strength that you have belongs to God. You think of the runner finishing the race. You know, when you're running in those last moments, when you have really poured yourself out, you think that you don't have anything left. But you dig down deep and you look for some stitch of strength, some ounce of strength, and you pour it out as your legs are pumping towards the finish line. And the thing is that when you do this, and when you're doing this in your Christian life, you're realizing that that energy that you're digging for isn't even yours. As you're wringing yourself out, just trying to find enough to finish, what you're trying to wring out is Christ. It's Christ's energy. It's Christ's purpose. So give it to him. And these are hard things. These are difficult things. And the Christian life isn't easy. And it isn't supposed to be easy. It is hard. And it is a battle. If your week's been easy, then you haven't been fighting the fight. If your life's been easy to this point, you haven't been running the race. So go for the race. Fight a good fight. Run hard and run to win. Set these boundaries in your life. Pursue Christ and give everything to him. Now look with me at starting with verse 13 through 15. And they sent some Pharisees and Herodians to him in order to trap him in a statement. And they came and said to him, Teacher, we know that you are truthful and defer to no one, for you are not partial to any, but teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to pay poll tax to Caesar or not? Shall we pay or shall we not pay? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said to them, Why are you testing me? Search your life for hypocrisy. Search your life for where you say one thing or even claim to just believe one thing, claiming to believe God's word, and your life doesn't line up with it. We see here that this hypocrisy was testing God. And your hypocrisy tests God. How long will he be patient with us? How long will he endure us? When I was a young child staying with my grandparents, my grandfather's name was Amos, and I've told you about him before. Tough, strong man. And he was in the living room, laying on the couch, trying to take a nap, and my loving grandmother had bought me this balloon that you could blow up, and then when you let it go, it made this horrible noise. So Amos is trying to take a nap, and I blow up this balloon as big as I can, and I let it go. And Amos looks at me and says, Stop it. And I giggled to myself, and I waited a little while, and I did it again, blew it up as big as I could, and I let it go. And he looked at me with this look, I'm told, if you see my angry look, it's Amos's angry look. He looked at me with this look and he said, I said, stop it, boy. And he laid back down and closed his eyes. And I thought, hee, 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 hee. And I grabbed the balloon and I blew it up as big as I could. And it barely started. I was snatched off my feet by my wrist, thrown across his lap, and I got the spanking of my life. I wasn't very old, and I thought in that moment, that does not feel like my mother's spank, and that certainly doesn't feel like my father's spank, and I remember that pain. You see, I was testing Amos, and I learned the lesson that many children, many men, and many dogs learn. You don't test Amos. We see here, and we should learn the lesson that has been learned through history, that was learned by Jerusalem in 70 AD. You don't test Christ. The lesson that has been learned by nation after nation. You do not test Christ. The lesson that has been learned by many children, women and men, you do not test Christ. We have seen in our own denomination pastors who have been undone and who are even in jail now thinking they could test Christ, but their sins found them out. All of us must be painfully aware. Do not test Christ. So next, as we look at giving ourselves to Christ, the cry is give your soul to Him. Give your soul to Christ. It should be perfectly obvious through the course of this sermon how sadly we all fall short. That we have not completely given our minds to Christ. We haven't given our bodies to Christ. We haven't given our strength to Christ. And we have been testing Him. So what is the answer? The answer is that the Lord God knows you. The Lord God has seen your sin set before Him. And that while you were yet a sinner, the Lord Jesus Christ laid down His life to save you. So give your soul to Him. I've seen my daughter watch us eat and cut up meat. And one day we had a meat that was tender. But my daughter, she took a fork, and instead of a knife, she took a spoon. And she was, you know, working this together, thinking that she was going to cut her meat up with the spoon, just following our example. And she couldn't do it. And finally, in frustration, she had to say, "You do it." And pass it to us. I would say that us trying to achieve our righteousness and trying to pull all this off is like my daughter trying to cut this meat. But it's more like my daughter trying to unload a moving truck. You see, you can't pull it off. You can't pull off this righteousness. And although there will be beautiful times when your Lord God will embrace you in His arms like that beloved coach, you're not going to make it. You're not going to be good enough to be accepted. That is why the Lord Jesus Christ took your sins on Himself and went to the cross. So trust in Him for your salvation. Trust in Him to save you. Remember that love and look to that love and pour yourself out. But know that your salvation must be in the arms of Christ. So don't be prideful. Don't be arrogant. The best of us are just two-year-olds hoping to unload a moving truck. Rest in your God. Rest in your Christ and offer yourself up to Him. Pray with me. Our God, we again thank You for Your Word, and we thank You for this call to render everything to You, to give our entire lives to You, and we pray that You will motivate us to do that by Your love and by Your grace. God, as we fall short day by day and moment by moment, may we give our souls to You. Our lives, our eternity, our expectation, our salvation. May we remember that it rests solely in Your arms as we strive to pour ourselves out for You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.